For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I'm Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And for today's solo episode, I wanted to dive into the topic of financial stability and independence, especially as a woman. And with this month being January and it often being a month and time period where a lot of us are feeling the momentum of the new year and trying to make some adjustments in your life as you go forward into the year, I felt like this would be a great time to talk about this topic. And I've been thinking about this one for some time now, especially with how it's impacted me and my life over the past few years since I graduated college. And I know a while back I did an episode on financial independence or just kind of that realm. And I know talking about it had helped a lot of you guys, especially for those of you who were within a few years out of college or kind of thinking ahead early and were or are currently still in college and starting to think about how you want to build your life. And here's the thing, you guys, as I am 27 now and I'm looking back on my life over the years and also observing my friends and my peers, those who have lived or continue to live in a way that is inspiring to me, I can't help but notice how much of the way life tends to play out is so predicated on long-term thinking and long-term habits that, of course, compound over time. That goes with our health, the way we take care of ourselves, right? A lot of us know that in order to get the physique or get into the shape that you really want, you cannot actually achieve that in just 1 month or 2 months, right? It takes time. So kind of a side tangent, but if you're thinking ahead to summer right now and you know that you want to actually shred and not only just for the summer, but to keep going in that direction, just start now because it takes time. It takes time to build muscle. It takes time to tone up. It takes time to see a difference. So, you know, in 3 to 6 months, you can see that difference. Right now it's January. So come June, July, August, you'll be able to see some of those habits or everyday things you've applied into your life. You'll be able to see the impact of that 5 months from now. And so where I was going with that is, of course, that is the same thing when it comes to money and investing and knowing how to be savvy with it, but also with just the classic, I'm getting my life together, right? I think a lot of us in our 20s and 30s, we're constantly on the road to quote unquote getting our shit together and figuring out our life. And sometimes it happens one day where you put your foot down and you say, all right, I need to actually get this taken care of. And maybe you are just ahead of the curve and you're like, you know what? I've seen people make mistakes in not preparing early on. So this is something I'm going to apply myself to do and figure out at the age of 23, 22, wherever you're at in life. So all that to say, I'm going to dive into reasons why every woman should learn how to be financially stable and independent, financially independent specifically. And then I will go into how I learned to do this in my 20s. This is speaking from experience from college to now, and also the most basic fundamentals that I think if you are learning how to start and learning where to start when it comes to like where you should even start when it comes to finances, I will also talk about that. And I want to also always share, I am not an expert in finance and I'm not going to dive into crazy specifics, but I will always speak on things that I actually have done for a dedicated period of time. I've gotten into being financially independent and completely on my own for like several years now. And in the recent 2 to 3 years was when I also learned how to be a lot more savvy with credit cards. I learned how to be better with saving and investing, especially long term. And that's something that I'll talk about even with some of my girlfriends who are well into their mid-late 20s. A lot of them don't know any of this. And I'm kind of the person that they come to when it is around basic fundamentals that they can appreciate and respect from a girlfriend. So I'm gonna hopefully be able to do the same for you guys. And so my first why as to why every woman should learn how to be financially stable and financially independent is because you have the ability to make decisions for yourself and for your own life. So I would like to think of it this way. What are the alternatives to not being able to make decisions for yourself and your own life? What are the alternatives to, let's say you can't pay your rent, right? Well, who's going to pay the rent for you? And like Gary Vee would say, Gary Vaynerchuk, if any of you guys have heard of him, especially if you're on the internet, you probably have come across some of his content. But if you have to take help from someone else, like even your parents, or perhaps it's a partner, right? There's usually constraints and restrictions. And when you are getting assistance from another person, there are usually a set of rules. Like I would say with parents, for example, they can typically kind of dictate what you can and can't do, right? If they don't help support your means of living, right, you're out. And so if you want to be able to kind of keep your life going, you have to listen to a little bit of what they more or less tell you what to do. And that can definitely occur in unhealthy relationship dynamics. Let's say there's an unhealthy partner where they are financially supporting you, but over time, things get a little unhealthy because they make you do something you don't really want to do, or they start to maybe be a little controlling. And I'm also admitting like that's not always the case, of course, right? But I think it is healthier when you enter, speaking on the romantic level, when you enter a dynamic where it is equal in terms of respect and the dynamic, and there is no one person has leverage over the other. I think that is something I have always stood by since I was a young age. And so the alternatives of not being able to make decisions for yourself is that someone else will make those decisions. I actually have felt that a little bit when I was younger, when I was a teenager, of course. I could not fend for myself completely, but I felt the impact at a young age when there are parents or there's a parent that can technically control your life a little bit because they fund your life and they fund your lifestyle. And so I didn't love the constraints as a teenager and well into my college years. And that for me personally was what inspired me to learn as quickly as possible to become financially stable and independent on my own so that I did not have to engage in unpleasant conversations with a parent and also have to abide by the things that they said that I should or shouldn't do. Mind you, I was actually always the type of person that didn't quite fully abide by what a parent says solely because they said that's what I'm supposed to do. In fact, I have very different views and values from my parents, let's say, just because of generational differences, cultural differences, and I think that's very okay to have respectfully different opinions and views on life, right? But as you can imagine, when there is a bit of that confliction when there's a bit of that conflict, it's not something that you really want to have to deal with, right? And I'm sure for those of you listening, any of you guys who are Asian Americans, or maybe you are a child of immigrant parents, I'm sure there's probably a little bit more relatability in that sense. But of course, I think anyone who knows that dynamic of, you know, certain parents trying to have more autonomy over your life than they need to, there's such a beautiful feeling of knowing that you can provide for yourself and can pay for things on your own without having to ask for permission or have to dive into it with parents, especially when you don't want that to be the case. And so I think of that as well in the future, in the long run, when it comes to potential unhealthy relationships that would create that leverage when that could also be prevented. And so that also leads into my next point on when you're able to make decisions for yourself, that also means you can purchase things that you want without waiting for someone else to do it for you or to ask permission to buy something from, let's say, I know of circumstances where a girl has maybe her partner's credit card. And again, that is 100% okay. I have no judgment on that. In fact, I don't think that's necessarily weird either, especially if you're married to someone or if you've been with someone for a while. That being said, I've also seen a lot of stories and have heard about a lot of stories where you don't know about that the first 5 years in, but let's say 10 years into marriage, 15 years into marriage, sometimes or oftentimes, especially because of lack of communication or lack of expectations that have been set, or maybe they've evolved over time, the person who's like the financial provider, if that's the dynamic, that person can start to be resentful years down the line because their money is constantly being spent. And of course, you would like to think, well, it should be like if you're married to someone, it's like our money, right? Of course, yes, yes, yes. But I'm saying that, again, there's just, these are stories I've heard of. This is even things like Esther Perel has talked about, or just, you know, people like her, where they talk about sometimes when that is the dynamic in the first few years, it doesn't mean that it's the most sustainable. And so
one of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I personally would not want to be in a position where, let's say, I want to buy this piece of jewelry for myself, or I want to go on a certain trip, or maybe, I don't know, buy whatever it is. And let's say I'm spending it with my partner's money that is technically our money as well. There is often that resentment where later on they're like, you know, why did you spend it on this, right? Or why did you spend it on that? And that's why, you know, people will speak about that from experience, where it's nice to be able to be like, hey, you know what, you can't say anything about what I bought because this is my money, and or maybe I've earned this money as well. And so I know there's different ways, this is a whole side tangent too, there's different solutions to money and finances when you're in a relationship and when you're married and all that. But I do know of course, depending on how early you meet someone or your partner, et cetera. But it's often helpful when there is a joint account, of course. And also I remember 2 or 3 years ago now, there was a financial advisor on my podcast where she talked about how, especially for women, because men just can't fully grasp or understand the certain feminine products that women like to buy for herself. It's important for us to have our own play money, so to speak. So our own money that hopefully we've been able to earn ourselves, that we have full autonomy over how we spend. And I think long term, that probably does. There's probably some truth to the fact that it helps keep relationship dynamics healthy when a partner does not get resentful over how the money is spent. And outside of like long-term marriage and relationships like that too, this made me think of a friend of mine who we recently, we all went shopping together on a weekend here in New York, and she wanted to go look at some new Bottega bags. And I'm personally not into Bottega, like the brand, but I think it was like the Jody bag that she was looking at. And she works in finance of some sorts. And I remember I nudged her and I was like, doesn't it feel great to be able to buy these things on your own and to not have to wait for your partner or wait for someone to buy it for you? And I was saying that as a big kudos to her because she actually grew up with a single mom who I think not only didn't have a college degree, but certainly did not have financial means to support my friend in the way that she supports herself now in terms of some of the luxuries that she gets to indulge in and also living much more comfortably than she did when she grew up with her single mom. And so I gave her and continue to give her huge kudos because I know that it's something that she should and deserves to be proud of and proud of herself for being able to create that for herself in her own life, given that this is probably something she kind of craved or maybe almost maybe romanticized when she was younger and now she finally has that life. And I'll end this part on autonomy, which is that when you get to make decisions for yourself and for your own life, that also translates into autonomy for your life. And this is something that each person, each of us as humans, we all have this desire and need to have some sort of autonomy over our life. And a lot of things, unfortunately and fortunately, deal with finance, right? How we spend, how we save, it enables us to live a certain lifestyle. And so without that autonomy to be able to make decisions with even what you're eating, let's say in the morning, right? I think it leads to a level of lack of peace and lack of happiness in some shape or form. I think there's actual studies on this as well, on the impact of the lack of autonomy in your life and how that does actually lead to levels of unfulfillment and unhappiness and all of that. So that's something I honestly, if you're really curious about that, definitely feel free to go down the Google rabbit hole of that one. That's something I've talked about with my therapist as well a long time ago when he was explaining to me different needs that we all have and how that might be helpful for me to understand for something that I think I was going through at the time. So all that to say, who doesn't love to have autonomy over their own life? My second why is that it is easier to learn the skill of finance and being savvy with your money and not need to use it than to need to use it later on, let's say, but you have no idea how to. Okay, so I'll give an example. And these are, of course, never something that we imagine or hope to have ourselves in, but it happens, right? Like, for example, to be completely candid, I was about to say, like, you know, take it from women who may be divorced or widowed, or maybe they lost their partner who was the financial supporter, or sometimes where I recently came across a story where a husband had passed away, and in the will, he left his business in his spouse's hands, right? But she had never experienced, you know, the business to the extent that she needed to run it. And so, of course, she learned very quickly and was able to help keep it afloat. But all that to say, I know some of you guys might think, well, I certainly hope I don't get divorced. And I hope that my life will be this way with my partner, and I'll be able to build this life like the way maybe my parents did, or maybe my parents didn't, right? And of course, generations and societies evolve and change, and today it's just different than some of our parents, of course. But, you know, even as I think of someone I know who met her partner when she was 23, and she got married to him, I want to say when she was 27, maybe 28, and then now she's 31, and they recently divorced. And the reasons were very clear, but at the same time, when she married him and had this life that even from me, like outside looking in, I thought was great, and I thought it was very secure and strong and all of that, I remember being surprised, you know, and also that, yeah, like for me personally, it made me think how I think grateful I am that I don't feel rushed. I certainly am not rushed at all, and that I want to be able to take my time, you know, and I would love and hope to be able to have a long-term partner with one person. And for me, I would rather that to be okay. If it means that I would not get married until well into my 30s, I'd much rather have that than to be trying to find my person right now and like trying to get married and all of that within the next 2 years, you know, like what's the rush, right? So all that to say, going from my first point, which is that there are a lot of times where women who never thought that they needed to learn or be the financial supporter for themselves, they've all ended up in situations that they've never even like thought that they'd become in, right? So that's why I said, take it from women who may be divorced or just lost their partner in some way. And imagine if you're in that position and you don't have the skill or knowledge to take care of the finances. And let's say you even have children, right? How are you going to manage in a scenario like that? Of course, let's hope that that isn't the scenario at all, that that's the worst case scenario and that you wouldn't be in that position. But let's say worst case scenario, you are. Are you prepared for that? And I think something else to keep in mind too is that we learn quicker in our younger years. So being in your 20s and 30s right now and learning how, like learning how to invest, learning the differences in the credit cards, learning how to save your money, what types of accounts to put it in. All of that right now is going to make life a lot easier when you're in your 40s and 50s and beyond. And this is something that I've even observed in people. And that's why I know that it takes so much long-term thinking, even though we're so prone to let's live in the moment, let's enjoy the present. And of course, we do need to continue to enjoy the present and not be too much in the future, because then we're constantly worried, right? But there's a little bit of a push-pull is kind of how I visualize it, is in that, okay, I try to look ahead a little bit in this part of my life. I try to look ahead a little bit in this other part of my life. And then the other parts of my life, I try to stay a little bit more in the present, you know? And so sometimes it fluctuates, and sometimes I pull back a little bit, or sometimes I think ahead a little bit more than I might have thought I needed to. But I think in the end, for me personally, it's helped me when I've thought ahead as to how I would prepare for any worst case scenario. And I think this is the same thing when it comes to language or anything when we're learning at a younger age, or lifting even, like strength training. It is easier now when you are, let's say, 25 years old, learning how to really use the weights and go to the gym and properly lift. Better to do it now than 35, or better to do it now than 45. You know, why wait 20 years when you're like, oh, I'll just wait till then? Why not just do it now, little by little, right? Because it's just a lot easier for us now. We're still more flexible, we're more youthful, we have more high energy, right? All of that is just going to be a lot easier to implement now than to wait years down the line only because we're like, well, I don't need it right now, right? Well, it's not like you need a bunch of money saved up right now, but that's why there's that concept about saving for a rainy day, because one day, that day will happen, whether it's financially or something else, and you need yourself. You need to be able to rely on yourself in some shape or form. So now I'm going to dive into basic fundamentals to know and learn. And this is, again, all from my personal experience and my personal expertise in living on my own in both LA and New York, and having been financially independent over the past few years since after college. And so I think one of the first places to start, because we're all going to always naturally spend and spend on something, is learning how to spend wisely with a credit card. And so an obvious one that I'm sure a lot of you guys know, but if you didn't know, paying off your monthly statement to prevent accumulated debt is so, so important. Because if you're only paying the minimum monthly due, over month by month, whatever that's still remaining, that's going to accumulate interest. You can find out what your interest rate is on anything you don't pay off from your statement. It's usually at least 20-something percent, okay? It's usually stupid high, and it's just a rabbit hole you don't want to go down. So, of course, be wise with your spending so that you can actually pay off your monthly statement, so you can avoid those high interest rates. And so the next part with credit card spending is definitely getting savvy with knowing which different credit cards to have or use. And I want to preface, this tip is definitely for those of you who don't have debt and you actually are ready to become savvy with which credit card to use, and you're not in a place where you are struggling to spend wisely, okay? So definitely the biggest one is if you are a traveler like me, or you know that you're going to just travel somewhat in the future in general, you want to find a card with no international fees so that you can use your credit card abroad as well. A few cards that I personally use and I do recommend, the first one is the Bilt credit card. It is linked in my show notes. You can find a link to, I think, just like the welcome link that you can apply for the card. And this Bilt card is special. It's spelled B-I-L-T. It is special because you can earn points on paying rent. And those points you can use for travel. So you can, of course, use it to credit your monthly statement, but you can use it for traveling. You could use it for so many different things. But yes, you can literally use the points that you earned from paying rent. You can use those points to get flights or travel perks, or anything really, not just travel. My second card recommendation is Amex, and obviously Amex is a little different because I believe even with personal cards, there is a annual fee with it. But I will say, if you do travel frequently, you know that you would eat up the Amex perks, then definitely get it. I didn't get this until like fall 2023. And I have an Amex business card, so I don't have a personal card, but I've loved it since day one. There's so much perks that is helpful for me, especially because I do kind of fly frequently, and it's been nice to be able to access different airport lounges and just a bunch of different perks that come with the Amex Business Platinum. But I would say definitely look into Amex in general if you are a frequent traveler. Another card that I do recommend, especially if you spend on Amazon or Whole Foods a lot, and I've had this card, this was my first not my first credit card, but my first credit card that I chose for myself out of college. It is the Amazon Prime credit card. And I believe you get 5% back on Amazon and Whole Food purchases and like 2%, I think, on restaurants and 1% on everything else, 3% on gas. And so at this point, I only use it for Amazon and Whole Foods. But it is nice because there is no international fees with the card. So I think it is a great one to start out with. And I also love other cards for travel if you are interested that also do not have a annual fee, like American Express would be Chase. I believe like Chase Sapphire. I don't have that card personally. Never had that card either. Capital One, the Venture One card is also quite good for travel. There's usually a lot of like perks or bonuses if you like sign up right now. Just go ahead and like Google it and definitely do a comparison. But it is something I recommend, which is like getting savvy with different credit cards and knowing which cards to use in each area of your life when you're spending. Another tip I have on basic fundamentals is having a high yield savings account. So this is obviously savings related. But the tips I've heard around saving is to have at least 3 to 6 months of cash. That would be for just in case or a rainy day, or let's say you're unemployed for a period of time and you just need some money to be able to go through it. This is obviously a great place. Now, what is special about a high yield savings account is that you earn a percentage on what you keep inside the account. Of course, it compounds over time, and I think they kind of pay it out like once a month or something. But for example, if the interest rate, the APY, is 4% on a high yield savings, meaning you earn 4% on whatever you have, let's say you have $10,000 in the high yield savings account. That is $400 into your pocket just for storing your cash there versus a regular savings account or just a checking account. This is something that I actually spoke about with a friend that had a lot of money in a checking account and had no idea that they could be putting it into a high yield savings. And the first 2 months they earned, they put a lot of money into the high yield savings, that they had $500 right there just from the first month because of how much they brought over into the high yield savings. My next tip is around investing, and trust me, it's not too complicated, but hopefully if you are employed somewhere, you have the option of a 401k, and hopefully you are maxing that out. But if you have more disposable income that you are willing to also invest further, you can open a Roth IRA. And this one is post-tax, so you can literally take the money that you already took home post-tax, not pre-tax, and you can put it inside a Roth IRA. Max contribution per year is $7,000. And for me personally, when I opened up my Roth, which actually I first did a rollover IRA because when I left my employer, I did have a 401k there. And then I rolled it into a Roth IRA, and then I invested the money into a target date index fund. And all that to say, this probably sounds really fancy to some of you guys. And so my biggest tip is read the book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. I will repeat that again. I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. It is a great book on basic fundamentals and almost like a just a hacking guide, okay? So definitely read this book if you want more fundamentals on just where to start. Credit cards, investing, saving, getting out of debt, anything. And you might ask, okay, why should I invest though? What's the big deal? People always talk about investing, but I have no idea. Okay, I'll simplify it. If you go and find a compound interest calculator, so go to Google, this is really quick, and you can see how much your money would be worth if you were to start today. So let's say you were to start and invest in $500 right now. Look at how much that money would be worth 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. And then change that to $1,000. Let's say you actually start with $1,000. Look at how much that money would be worth 8 years from now, right? And 10 years from now. That right there should tell you enough, okay? And so if your money is going to compound that much, and obviously the longer you have it accumulate, the higher value it is. So in my head, I'm thinking, if I'm doing that now, which I started this 2-3 years ago, I'm thinking when I'm well into my 30s, maybe whatever I've invested, I can use some of that to maybe, let's say, buy myself a home that I've been dreaming about in New York, right? These are some things that run through my head when it comes to why would that be worthwhile to me. And my last tip around basic fundamentals is just check your bank accounts and your statements at least 1 to 2 times a week to keep tabs on your spending, especially spending that shouldn't be there. Maybe someone mistakenly charged you or they charged you extra. You can remove subscriptions that are not needed because, as we all know, this could be adding up to maybe even like $100 a month, and this could be wasteful, maybe considered bad spending habits, something that you're trying to get out of. So when you're kind of checking your bank account frequently, you're more on top of what's coming in, what's coming out, how much money I actually have, how I should be spending my money differently, all of that. All that to say, for me, learning how to be financially stable and independent, especially in my 20s, has enabled me to make different decisions that maybe not other people can make or haven't been able to make yet, because a lot of times, decisions do come down to money and financial constraints. And as much as some of us, I'm sure, would love for someone else to kind of help us in some shape or form, and I want to say again, it's not that this episode is around how you should be a fully independent woman and you should not rely on another person, or whether that's a partner, whatever. Okay. Has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with empowering yourself to have the best opportunities and to be in a position of choice, not in a position of, for lack of better words, helplessness, right? When you have the option to choose, so let's say you have your own financial stability and means, and you choose in the romantic setting, you choose a partner that makes you feel safe and that you can rely on them and that you can depend on them and that you can trust them, right? And it has nothing to do with financial resources. That most likely will be a healthier, stable dynamic, which is also something I value. So again, I'm always speaking in terms of what I value and what my values are. I would always value and prefer something that's based on that foundation rather than based on the foundation of I need you for these external resources or reasons or to more or less help me survive, like the Maslow hierarchy of needs, right? The fundamentals are like food, water, basic survival needs. And if I, and that requires money in today's world, you need money to buy food and shelter and all of that, right? It's empowering to be able to help yourself first so that you can not only optimize for your future family and can rely on yourself and you can trust yourself to be there for you and for your potential kids and whoever that may be, but also that you can be a reliable source for your future partner as well, in whatever way that is, right? And vice versa, of course. Hopefully that would be the case. But this podcast is always about empowering you, especially young women, to be able to design your life the way that you want it and in a way that would be the most fulfilling to you. And I believe that it ultimately comes down to the way we take care of ourselves and the autonomy that we have over our life decisions. So I hope this podcast episode was helpful and useful. As always, if it was, please be sure to share this episode with a friend, maybe a girlfriend that you know that could use a little nudge with some financial or some tips on where she can start. If you share this on your Instagram story, make sure to tag me at Emily E. Duong and the podcast Insta at What Fulfills You. And of course, share your feedback with me directly. You can DM me at Emily E. Duong or at What Fulfills You. Thanks so much again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next episode.
Hey.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.